Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
All right. It's gonna be all right. It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
God bless you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Recorded beginning at verse 1 are these words. Acts chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And it says very simply, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. But just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, obedient to the faith. Obedient to the faith. This word here we have today is a clear-cut demonstration of what will happen if men and women of God would obey what Jesus Christ set as a mandate in his word and has given to the believers who are to take the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified to the entire world. The message that was given to the church, the message of faith, was that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the message of faith. God so moved by this love that he had for mankind, that he in his faith, gave up his son, believing by faith that when his son would give his life, that there would be those of us who would hear the word, and not only hear the word, but heed the word. Become doers of the word, and thus become sons and daughters in a right relationship with God. God's faith was of a nature that he was willing to give up his only begotten son so that through him he might receive many sons and daughters. This is the message of faith.
Yeah.
Now I want you to see here what happened, because in the first few chapters of the book of Acts, you have some wonderful beginnings of the New Testament church and some of the things that they endured and some of the things that they had to deal with that many of us would do well to look at and to see and to understand their plight and problems, because they had to present Jesus Christ as the risen Son of God. Mm-hmm. I want you to see, though, when you do what God says do against the odds and against the enemies and against the tradition and against the customs, you have the God of the universe backing up what he said he'll do. It was a difficult task for the New Testament church to preach Jesus in a place where they crucified him. But yet, he again had given his life in faith, believing that there would be those who would be obedient to the faith, whereby in the preaching of that same gospel, it also presented a situation of the same situation happening to them. In other words, even though they were not Jesus, to preach Jesus could also cause them to be crucified. But they were obedient to the faith. Let's walk through the word and just see this in chapter 6. First one, it says, and in those days, the beginning of the church, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, the first thing I want you to note in the text is that it says, in those days when the number of disciples, it doesn't say in those days when the number of members. I want you to hear me here, because the church that Jesus had does not have membership. I know that goes against a lot of your thinking, but I want you to hear what the word says. His church had disciples, not members. And see, that's the problem with too many of us now. We're messed up like we're messed up because of our membership rather than our discipleship. There's a whole lot of ship that wouldn't be in here if we were disciples rather than members. Look at this word. Look at this word. Look at this word. Somebody that was almost asleep might have thought I said another word, but that's what you get for being asleep. It says, the number of disciples was multiplied. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians, which were Jews who had sojourned to Jerusalem, but who had been a part of Greek-speaking communities so long that they spoke Greek, and many of them had been born in the Greek communities so that they were Jews, yet having a diversity in tongues or languages. And so many of them spoke Greek more fluently than they did Hebrew. And so it says against the Hebrews, which were the native Hebrews who spoke in the Hebrewic tongue, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now let me say this about folk, period. I don't care who you are. Folk will be holy and happy for a pretty long time until you mess with their stuff. I think I need to say that again. Folk can enjoy the Lord, shout all around you, have a wonderful time until you bring up giving, until you bring up sharing, until you bring up doing their part. And then folk get a little funny acting with you. Spirit starts simmering down where he was way on fire before you got to that part. Now, these folk were having a Holy Ghost, wonderful, spirit-filled time until it got time to handing out the stuff. And that same Holy Ghost that was with them then, he somehow departed from them then, because they got out of the spirit, woo, woo, watching football, woo. All right, now I'm waiting to see my time and see if I get as much as they got on their plate. And so what happened was they started, you know, strife got in the church and they started figuring, oh, I see how this go. The Hebrew servants are giving out more to the Hebrew widows than these Grecians here. I see how this go. And so since there was no representation, obviously, in the administration on behalf of the Grecians, they felt like, wait a minute now, because a few chapters before, everybody was giving up everything and had all things common so that everybody could have enough sufficiently. Yeah. Now, here's what you need to understand. The needs were supposed to be met by the common good of all the people. Yeah. In other words, all of us put in our little bit, but if it takes more for me than it does for you, it was my need, not my desire. In other words, let me make it plain for you. An 18-wheeler takes a whole lot more fuel than a Volkswagen. And if you're gonna help me, giving me the same portion that a Volkswagen take, it won't make me go much further than a Volkswagen could go on empty with the portion you've given me for that. Are you with me here? In other words, some people required more than others, needed more than others, but others felt like this was an unfair demonstration because of who they were or where they were from rather than the need process. So look at what happens then. Verse 2 says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples, not the members, unto them, and said, it is not reason, it is not right, it is not fit. Yeah. That we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now listen at this, and of course this table serving business again stems from the fact that in the earlier chapters they had a all common resource bin where everything was given by all of the people, gave what they had so that everybody would have sufficient needs met in that same thing. So they were given the responsibility of distributing it rightfully. So now the problem came in where too much time was being taken on the temporal things, on the issues of the daily ministration, and not the kind of proper time in prayer and studying the word was going forth that they needed to have spent quality time with God so that they could come back and give the people a quality word that will minister to their spirits. Much of, I'm convinced, this mess came up because the preachers were spending too much time taking care of temporal stuff and not having the proper time to be in prayer and studying the word so that they could come and present a ready and right word to the people of God. But the Spirit of God came upon them and said, wait a minute, there's a problem here. And the problem is that we're spending too much time doing stuff that really does not weigh heavily against what we ought to be doing. So listen to what he said. They said, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. Look among you. Choose you, if you will, seven men of honest report. Yeah. Seven men. Now, this is the entire discipleship looking amongst themselves and finding seven reputable men with good reputations who can back up what they say, and the audience or the membership or the discipleship knew their character to be reputable and they would stand behind their integrity. Find seven men that all of us think are good men. Yeah. Greeks and Hebrews. And look at what the word of God says. It says, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And now look at this. They've got to have an honest report. Got to be good businessmen. And folk who do business with them say, yes, one thing about Brother So-and-so, he's an honest businessman. He does business right. But then not just doing business right, that was the temporal part here, that was the natural part, but it also goes on to say full of the Holy Ghost. Because I'm here to tell you that you can't ever do God's business right without being full of the Holy Ghost. And if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to have some of God's wisdom in you. And a whole lot of us need to understand that there are some things we just wouldn't do if we had the wisdom of God in us. We wouldn't say if we had his wisdom, or we wouldn't act this way if we had his wisdom. So these men had to have a good report, had to be full of the Holy Ghost, and had to have wisdom. Now look at what the Word of God says. It says, whom we may appoint over this business. Whom we may appoint over this business. Now, you tell us who you think are worthy. But that's all you do is you give us some names. That's where your job stop at. You give us the names and we are going to appoint them over this business. Because here what they were really saying is, now all you need to do is give us someone who meet the qualifications that we have set before you, and if you feel good about these people you've recommended, know that these are going to be the same people who are going to have rule over you. And if you have trust and faith in picking up, so that means that you needed to be real about someone you felt had good report, full of the Holy Ghost, and had wisdom, because you're going to find out that the role of the deacon, as it were, in the initial church of God, in the New Testament church, every synagogue, every town, every place had a minimum of three deacons. And these deacons were called ruling elders. And what they did were they were like judges who took care of the social and sacred matters of the church. In other words, whenever there was a problem in the church, they brought them up before these three deacons, and they would rule on whatever was the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God. And when they ruled on that, that was finished. In other words, they didn't bring them to the deacons and then took them out to court. This was the last word right here. In other words, when you got through saying what thus saith the Lord, that was a finished matter, because this was what God had ordered. That's why he said, get you some men that have a good report, that are full of the Holy Ghost, and that have wisdom. Why? Because there are going to come situations and circumstances and events in your life where these same men you've chosen will have to give a verdict or say what thus saith the Lord, and you're going to have to go by that. Now listen at this. He says that we may appoint over this business. Yeah. Now here's what you need to know, that all deacons were not business deacons. Or deacon elders, if you will. Some of them were preaching elders or deacons. And so here's what the men of God said. Listen, you choose out the men, and we're going to put them where they best fit. Now, there are some brothers who have great and keen business sense, who can't preach, who can't teach, and they ought not be up in front of nobody preaching or teaching. They have good businesses, and they ought to be back taking care of the business of the church. But there are other deacons who have an anointing on their lives where they can teach the word and present the word, and they know God has not called them to be a preacher, but a deacon who is anointed to teach and minister the word, where the word gets the kind of coverage that the Holy Ghost wants through a deacon elder. That there are some deacons who can out-preach some preachers who ain't been called by God. Y'all gonna get that when y'all wake up. But you can't call them to the pulpit because they know their place. Stephen was one of those kind of deacons. He was a preaching deacon, if you will, or a ministering deacon, and he had the ability to so disseminate the word that people became convicted, and they knew that what he said was so much so they wanted to kill him behind that. His anointing was so powerful that when he spoke, men heard him. And so he says, I want men that we might appoint over this business who can take care of the temporal things and who can take care of the things of eternity through the preaching and ministering of the word of God. Now listen at this, because this is what the word of God says. The word says, verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. The saying pleased the whole multitude. Do you know why the saying pleased the whole multitude? Because this saying was an inspired, anointed saying by the Holy Ghost. And everybody who heard this knew that this was the best course of action to take. But can I tell you, when you're full of the Holy Ghost yourself, the Holy Ghost knows how to lead you. how to guide you, how to minister to you and through you. So this saying pleased all of them. Look at what the Bible says. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, full of faith. His faith was so full that he was the first one chosen. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip, he was also. And Prochorus, he was also. And Nicanor, he was also. And Timon, and he was also. And Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. All of them were also, because that was the qualification. It says, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now, this is an important saying, because at this point, a lot of folks think that this, the laying on the hands now, was for, you know, to receive the Holy Ghost and so forth and have all this. This was not the case, because they had to have that before they can get their hands laid on them. That was a part of the qualifications, that they have a good report, that they be filled with the Holy Ghost, and that they have wisdom. So that wasn't the imparting of the hands. The laying on of hands was the imparting of the sacrificing and the setting aside of that person for that office. It stems all the way back to Moses when he laid hands on them, which gave sanction to the fact that that gave credence to that person serving in that office. It was as if he were a seal of approval. That's what the laying on of hands meant then. Now notice what the Bible says, and we're coming down to our preaching point. And the word of God increased. And the word of God increased. And the word of God increased. Now how did the word of God increase? First of all, it increased because it released the men of God to spend more time praying and preparing. So the quality and the quantity of the word increased. But it increased in another way, because this is the way disciples are made, and this is the way that it ought to be. It increased because the men full of the Holy Ghost, the apostles who appointed the disciples in the business elder office and the ministering elder office, the disciples who had been selected for this purpose, were able to function the way God intended them to function. So in other words, everything blossomed and was blessed because the deacons taking care of the business took care of the business, so much so that there was no more griping and complaining about folk not doing stuff right. And when stuff was no longer grumbled about stuff not being done right, the deacons who were there teaching and ministering the word had a greater opportunity not only to minister in the church, but to minister outside the church, because it wasn't so much mess happening on the inside of the church. And so as a result of it, people started telling other people about what was happening in this fellowship, so much so that the word of God became exhorted and lifted up, so that men heard not just from the preacher, but from the disciples who took the word out of the temple and brought it in the streets. Listen, you have to recognize that Jesus wants disciples. He's not interested in members. Yeah. Members is a man-made organization, but discipleship comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to know that when you come here on Sundays, you get a word and you take that word outside of these walls, outside of the fellowship, and bring it to men, women, girls, and boys. There ought to be something about you that shows up on the outside. All that you are on the inside, somebody ought to know that you belong to the Lord when you leave outside of these walls. When you go to your job, folk ought to know that church didn't end just on Sunday, but it's still happening on the inside of you. When you go to school, friends and families and all of these other folks ought to be able to see a difference in you. In other words, as a disciple, the truth that comes in you ought to flow out of you in the place that God brings you in contact with. Now listen at me well. You know some people. You know some people that you can't hog tie and drag to church. Who won't turn on the radio and listen, won't turn on the TV and look at no religious program. You know some people whose family members die and they still won't come to church. How do you reach those kind of people? As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you are that contact. to get that word in. You're the one. You might not be able to do but drop a seed. They might not let you give a whole sermonic presentation, but if the Spirit is leading you, he will give you enough to sow a seed in their lives. And maybe it might not be you to be the one that will cultivate that seed. Maybe someone else he may send that may water that seed. But know this, God is the one who's going to give the increase. You may have sown a seed long time ago and be off the scene, but know that that word that you've given will not return void. Sometimes God has to work in mysterious ways to bring about the reality of someone's salvation. But know that you have a part as a disciple to get the word out and to get it to somebody who does not know Jesus in the pardon of this. It's not your job to sit up there on Sundays looking good in church, and when you leave out there, leave the message you heard right in the pew. But so many of us, when we leave out of church, we don't hear no more about church till we get back in church. And yet you can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ without lifting him up, without talking about him, about spreading the word about him. And that's how folk get to hear about Jesus, through disciples. This is what it's like. One writer likened it to this: that the movement of Jesus Christ is like a man who is standing on the shores of a pond, and he takes a rock and he throws the rock out into the pond. And when the rock hits the water, it makes an impact on the place that it hits. And it's an impact that causes an immediate response, because even water, once it hits, goes down and pops up, comes back down. It makes an impact, so much so then that it causes what's called a ripple. And in every direction, if you don't believe it, try it one day. In every direction, ripples just further and further away. But this is what you need to know. It starts off and you can see the little small ripples, but as it gets further, the ripples turns into waves, and it gets wider and wider until you don't even realize that it's still moving, but it's going to touch every area of the water in that place. As disciples, you might say, what can I do? Pastor, you sit here and you talk to thousands of folk every Sunday between three services. Yeah, I can see the impact you're making, yes, but what you don't see is the rippling effect. When you start talking about it on your job, and when you start telling your family members, and when the Spirit of the Lord uses you to minister to somebody in the market or in the mall, or somebody that breaks down and uses you and brings back a word to help them, or whatever the situation may be, the ripple effect is really what causes folk to want to come and see what God is doing, because of what you take out of the place and present Jesus from your perspective. And this is what happened in the church, so much so that the church, listen, increased. Now let me ask you a question. Where do you think we could put everybody if on next Sunday you just brought one person? See, you're not even thinking with me, are you? But just think about, if you invited one person and were responsible for bringing one person next Sunday, where could we hold you? We ain't got no space now. But look at how quick this ministry would multiply if one person brought one person next week. Now, disciples are concerned about souls, and they're not selfish in getting just what they can get. But they know folk between this church and their house, between their house and their job, between their job and their families, between their families and relations that they can contact, that they can minister to. And their job and responsibility is getting the word out to others who may be without Jesus Christ and that knowledge. And so if we did our part, there would not be room enough to put folk in this place nowhere. Now just think about it. Think about the last time you brought somebody to church. Think about the last time you invited somebody to church. Think about the last time you told somebody about church. And then you wonder then, why you're a member and not a disciple. Disciples are concerned about people's soul, about people's situation, about finding them help through Jesus, who is their hope.